Mesechus Vachem Perek Vomishn Dalad until Perek Vomishn Zayin. This perek, as well as the following perek, discuss the details of the Chatas Ha'oif and the Oilas Ha'oif, which are the two korbanos brought of birds. One is a korban chatas brought for somebody who violates certain sins, and the other is a korban oila, which can be bought voluntarily, as well as a few people who are obligated to bring such a korban. Now, the process of offering the korban chatas, the chatas ha'oif, and the oilas ha'oif were quite different from each other. And this particular Mishnah discusses chatas ha'oif, kitzados anasis. How was the procedure of bringing the korban chatas ha'oif carried out? And we already learned in this perek that unlike regular animal korbanos, which require a regular shechita, a regular slaughtering with a knife, a bird korban requires a different process called melika. Melika is when the kohen used his thumbnail, his right thumbnail, which was very sharp and it was longer than normal, and he would use his nail to cut the back of the neck of the bird. And the Gemara elaborates on how exactly he had to hold the bird, and this whole process needs to be done in a very specific way, to the extent that the Gemara says that this was one of the hardest services to do in the Beis HaMikdash. He would perform melika on its head opposite the back of its skull, which is referring to really the back of its neck. He would cut the back for the head of the bird from the back, from its neck. The Elam Avdil, and he needs to make sure that he does not separate the head from the body. And in addition to that, he needs to make sure, the way that we're going to learn the Mishnah, this is how most Rishonim understand, that he needs to ensure that he does not cut both the food pipe and the windpipe. He needs to cut through one or the other of them, or he needs to cut the majority of one of them, but not both of them. So that is step one of the procedure. Step two is what they would do with the blood. Umazem Edoma, the kohen would sprinkle from its blood al kira mizbeach onto the wall of the mizbeach. He would sort of shake the bird right next to the wall of the mizbeach so that the blood would squirt towards the mizbeach. And this service needed to be done with the blood which comes out of the bird's body immediately. Just like with a regular animal korban, the only blood which can be used is the blood which comes out with a certain force from the animal's body. That's the first part of the blood which comes out once the animal is killed. But the rest of the blood which continues dripping from the animal is not valid. The same applies to the bird. So once the blood stops squirting out of the bird's neck with a force, shiori hadom, the rest of the blood, hoyomis matzeh, would be squeezed al hayasoid onto the base of the mizbeach. Meaning the kohen would take the bird and he would press it at the place where the cut was, where the blood was coming out of the bird. He would squeeze that against the wall of the mizbeach on the bottom half, and the blood would drop down the wall of the mizbeach until it reached the yasoid, which was the base at the bottom of the mizbeach, the part of the mizbeach which protruded slightly outwards. And the Mishnah tells us that this korban was unique from all of the other animal korbanos. In what way? Ein la mizbeach el adoma, the mizbeach only receives its blood. None of the animal itself is actually burnt on the mizbeach. The kula la koyanim. The entire animal is eaten by the koyanim. Once this process of the blood has been completed, then the meat of the animal, the meat of this bird, is given to the koyanim for them to be able to eat. Mishnah Hey, Oilas Ha'oif, his kitzatos anasis. How was the procedure of bringing the korban Oilas Ha'oif? How is that carried out? So, unlike the chatas ha'oif, whose blood needed to be applied to the bottom half of the mizbeach, and one of the reasons for this is so that they can press the blood against the wall, and the blood will go downwards and reach the yasoid. Regarding the korban oilas ha'oif, there's no requirement that the blood end up going onto the yasoid, the base. Rather, the blood had to be applied to the top half of the mizbeach. Olaba kevesh. The kohen went up on the ramp. He had to get to the top half of the mizbeach. The mizbeach was very tall. He couldn't reach the top half of the mizbeach from standing on the floor. Now, roughly halfway up the mizbeach went inwards and then continued going upwards, such that you end up with an area surrounding that top half of the mizbeach, where the Kohen would be able to walk around the Mizbeach, and this was known as the Soivev. And the Mishnah tells us that Ufonar HaSoivev, when the Kohen reached that part of the Mizbeach, he would turn onto the Soivev. He would turn right, Bolo Lukon Dromus Mizrachis. He would reach the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. He would perform Malika on the head of the bird from the back of its neck, or literally from the opposite of the back of its skull. And this time, umavdil, which literally means he would separate it, we're going to understand that that does not mean that he totally separates and cuts off the head from the body, but rather it means that whereas regarding the chatas ha'oif, he would only cut through one of either the windpipe or the food pipe, regarding the oilas ha'oif, he would cut through both of them. That's what the Mishnah means when it says he would separate it, that he would totally cut through both the food pipe and the windpipe. And then the next step, Umamat says, Don Kiram Mizbeach, he would shake the blood of the bird towards the wall of the Mizbeach, as long as the blood which is coming out of it is the blood which is coming out with a force. And once all of that blood has come out of the animal, then Notalis Hadresh, he would take the head of the bird, the Hikif basically Kosel Mizbeach, meaning, and he would bring the bird to the wall of the Mizbeach from the place of the bird where the cut was, which was at the back of its head. He would squeeze that against the wall of the Mizbeach. Usfoga b'melach, he would pour a lot of salt onto it. Every carbon requires salt being added to it before it is burnt on the Mizbeach. And then Uzrok al gavi ha'ishim, he would literally throw it onto the fire of the Mizbeach. The simple understanding of that is that since he was standing on the Soivev, which was only halfway up the Mizbeach, he was not standing on top of the actual Mizbeach at the top, where the fire was, so he wouldn't be able to reach there, and that's why he would throw it. That's a simple understanding, although others understand that he wouldn't throw it onto the fire from the Soive, that's a bit disrespectful. Rather, he would return to the ramp, go to the top of the ramp until he reached the top of the Mizbeach, and then he would put it onto the fire. But as it may, what we're talking about is the head of the bird. After that, Bolo Laguf, he would come to the rest of the body of the bird, the Heser as Hamura, and he would remove the part of the inside of the animal which contained the digested food which was ready to be turned into excrement. And he would take that out of the animal, the Sanitza, and all of the feathers which were covering that area, the Espanini Aima Yaitzim Imar, as well as the intestines and the other parts of the body which are connected to the digesting of the food, possibly the stomach as well, the Shlichan Beis Hadeshen, and he would throw those parts of the body to the Beis Hadeshen, which is the area near to the Mizbeach, which contained sort of a heap of ashes. When they would take the ashes off the Mizbeach every day, they would bring them to that area, so he would throw these parts of the animal, these parts of the bird, towards that heap. This was actually quite a distance away. It was 20 amos away from where he was standing. And the bird is very light, so to throw it that distance is actually quite difficult. It would require a lot of strength. Shisa. He would cut the back of the body of the bird in between its two wings, v'lo hivdil, but he would not separate and literally cut the entire bird into two. However, the Mishnah says, v'mhivdil kosher. If he did end up cutting it literally into two, the carbon is still valid. Usafoga ba'melach. And then he would add lots of salt to this part of the bird, Zorak al Gabriel Ishim, and throw it onto the fire of the Mizbeach. It should be noted that the Chatas Ha'oif is totally eaten by the Kohanim, and none of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. Whereas the Oilas Ha'oif is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and none of it is eaten. It should also be noted a very important difference between a regular Zevach, a animal offering, and a bird offering. Regarding a regular animal offering, a Zevach, we learned at length that the first part of the procedure of the Karbonis involves four avodas, four services: Shechita, slaughtering; Kabbalah, receiving the blood; Hilocha, transporting the blood towards the Mizbeach; and Zrika, throwing the blood onto the Mizbeach. However, when it comes to the bird Karbonis, this was done right next to the Mizbeach, and the blood was applied to the Mizbeach directly from the bird itself, and therefore there was only need for two services: Melika, which is the killing of the bird, which is parallel to Shechita by a regular carbon. And the second service is the application of the blood onto the Mizbeach, throwing it towards the Mizbeach and then squeezing it onto the Mizbeach so that it drains downwards. Mishnah Vov, what happens if Lo Heser Lo Samura, if the Kohen did not remove the part of the bird's insides, which contains that which is ready to be turned into excrement and come out of the bird's body, velos hanotza, and not the feathers which are around that area, velos b'nei mi'ayim she'yetzim imar. Nor did he remove the other parts of that digestive system, like the intestines which are coming out of there, or velos sfoga b'melach, if he did not add lots of salt to it, or even if he didn't add any salt to the carbon. Although these are all parts of the procedure which need to be done, that is all ideally. However, if he didn't do that, b'di'eved means once it's been done, meaning once he failed to do those parts of the procedure, the carbon is nevertheless valid, because kol sheshino bo me'achar shemitzah es domo, any change which he makes to the procedure after the blood has been squeezed onto the mizbeach, such that it will drain downwards to the base of the mizbeach, any part of the procedure which comes after that second and final service of the squeezing of the blood, kashera, the carbon would remain valid even if he failed to do those other parts of the procedure. Now, based on that rule, it follows that hivdil b'chatos, if he separated the bird's head fully, or if he cut both the windpipe and the food pipe of a bird carbon chatos, we learned two Mishnahs ago that one is only supposed to cut through one of those pipes. Or if he didn't cut through both the windpipe and the food pipe of the bird carbon oila, then it would also be invalid, because you need to cut through both of them when it comes to the carbon oila, and therefore posal, the entire carbon would be invalidated, because these are things which occur before the service of the squeezing of the blood has been performed. This is a mistake made in the first of the two services necessary. Mitzvah dam haroish v'leid mitzvah dam haguf. What happens if he squeezed the blood of the head of the bird, but he didn't squeeze the blood from the rest of the body of the bird? Once again, pasula will be invalidated, because this is something which occurred in one of the two services. That having been said, the Mishnah adds, mitzvah dam haguf v'leid mitzvah dam haroish, if he did squeeze the blood from the body of the bird, but not from the head of the bird, kasheira, the carbon would be valid in that case, since the majority of the blood comes from the rest of the body, not from the head. And there's also a basis for this in the psukim. Mishnah Zayin, this is a relatively long Mishnah, but in truth, this is really just a repetition of many of the laws we saw in the first two prakim of the Masechta regarding a zevach, a regular animal carbon, and the Mishnah is now going to apply those laws to a bird carbon. In the first Mishnah of the Masechta, we learned that if one of the services is performed with a carbon, not lishma, not for the sake of that carbon, but the person performing that service has the intent that this animal will be used for a different carbon, or for the sake of a different person other than the owner who is bringing the carbon. So the opinion of the first mission of the Masechta was that the carbon would not be invalidated. However, the person bringing the carbon would not have fulfilled his obligation if it was an obligatory carbon, and so he would need to bring a replacement. The exception was a carbon chatas and a carbon pesach, where the entire carbon would become invalidated. And the same applies over here, chatas o'ishem alokah shleilishma, the bird carbon chatas, whose malika was performed not for the sake of the carbon chatas, but with the intention that it would be used for a different carbon or for a different person, or mitzvah doma shleilishma, if he performed the second service of squeezing of the blood with intention that it not be for the sake of a carbon chatas, or if the first half of the service was performed for the sake of the carbon chatas, but the second half was performed for the sake of a different carbon, or the first half was performed not for the sake of the carbon chatas, and the second half was performed for the sake of the carbon chatas, pasula, the entire carbon would be invalidated. On the other hand, the bird carbon oila kasheira, the carbon would remain valid, except for the fact that it doesn't count for the owner, and he would need to bring a replacement. Continues the Mishnah. Both the bird carbon chatos and the bird carbon oila shemalokon v'shemitzah domon, whose malika was performed where the animal is killed with the thumbnail of the koyein, or the second service where the blood is squeezed, and the intention which the koyein had whilst performing one of those two services was le'echol dovar shedarko le'echol, to eat a part of the animal which is generally eaten, and this would only apply to the carbon chatos, because none of the bird carbon oila is eaten, or he had the intention to burn on the mizbeach a part of the carbon which is supposed to be burnt on the carbon. And this is the opposite, it would only apply to a bird carbon oila, but not to a bird carbon chatos, because none of the carbon chatos is burnt on the mizbeach, it is entirely eaten. And the intention which he had whilst performing one of these two services was to eat or burn the carbon, respectively, chutzim koimoi, outside of the place where it's supposed to be burnt or eaten, possible the korban would be invalidated, but there would not be a punishment of kores if somebody goes ahead and eats that meat. But if the intention they had was that it be eaten or burnt beyond its time limit, then the korban becomes pigel, and one who eats it would be liable to the punishment of kores. Uvilvad, as long as the conditions for being pigel are fulfilled, that the matter, the thing that it permits this part of the procedure to be done, is offered and fulfilled according to the way that it's supposed to be. Meaning, it must be that there is no other reason to invalidate the two services other than the intention of chutzis manoi, that he will eat it beyond its time limit. Ketzad koramatika mitzvasoi, how is the matter, the thing which is permitting the next part of the procedure, i.e. the two services, that is what allows for the burning or the eating of the korban to be carried out. So how is the first part of the procedure, meaning the two services, how is that performed according to the way it needs to be done, such that there is no other invalidation other than chutzlis manoi? Molak v'shisika, if he performed the melika without any invalidating intention, u'mitza adom chutzlis manoi, and he squeezed the blood with an intention of chutzlis manoi, that it be eaten or burnt beyond its time limit. Oisha molak chutzlis manoi, or he performed the melika with the intention of chutzlis manoi, and he squeezed the blood without any invalidating intention, or he did both the melika and the squeezing of the blood with an invalidating intention of chutzis manoi. This is considered to be that the matir was brought according to the way it needs to be done. But in what case would it be considered that the matir, the two services, were not performed according to the way that they need to be done? That is, if there is another invalidating intention involved. If he performed the melika with an intention of chutzim koimai, that he would eat or burn the korban not in the right place, and he squeezed the blood with an intention of chutzim manai beyond its time limit, or he did the melika with an intention of chutzim manai, and he squeezed the blood with an intention that it would be eaten or burnt beyond its place limit, or he did the melika and he squeezed the blood with an intention of chutzim koima, that it be outside of its correct place, then it would not become pigel. And the Mishnah carries on with identical laws to what we learned earlier on in the Masechta. Chatos o'ish melacha shelo lishma, a bird korban chatos whose melika was performed not for the sake of a korban chatos, so that is an additional invalidating intention. And then umitza domo chutzis mano, and he squeezed the blood with an intention of chutzis mano. Or the opposite, he did the melika with an intention of chutzis manoi, umitza domo shalei lishma, and he squeezed the blood with an intention that it would not be for the sake of a korban chatos. Or he did the melika and squeezed the blood not for the sake of a korban chatos. This would also be an example where the matter, the two services, were not performed according to the way that they need to be done. Lechel kazais b'chutz v'chazais l'machar, if he had the intention to eat a size of an olive of the korban outside of its place, and the size of an olive beyond its time limit, kazais l'machar v'chazais b'chutz, or first he had the intention to eat the size of an olive beyond the time limit the next day, and then he had the intention to eat the size of an olive outside of its area limit, or kachatzi zayis b'chutz v'chazais l'machar, the size of half an olive outside of its area and outside of its time limit, or half the size of an olive beyond its time limit and half the size of an olive beyond its area limit. In all of these cases, there is an additional reason to invalidate the korban other than the intention of chutzis manoi, of it being eaten or burnt beyond its time limit, and therefore possibly in the koris it would be invalid, but the punishment of koris would not apply for somebody who eats it because the conditions to be considered pigel are not fulfilled. Omer Yehuda. Rabbi Huda argues slightly, and he says, Zahaklo, this is the rule, if the invalidating intention of eating or burning it beyond the time limit came before the invalidating intention of eating it beyond its area limit, then we would indeed consider it pigel, the chayon of koris, and one would be liable to koris if he ate it. Only if the other invalidating intention came first, the invalidating intention of eating it beyond its area limit, or burning it beyond its area limit, that came before the invalidating intention of chutzlis manoi, only then possible would it be invalid ve'ein b'koreis, and it would not have the punishment of koreis, because it's not considered pigel. However, the chachom argue, the chachom say, no, zeh was possible in b'koreis. In both cases, it would only be considered invalid, but the punishment of koreis would not apply, since at the end of the day, one of the services involved an additional invalidating intention. The Mishnah adds a case which is not actually possible in the case of a bird korban. However, since this law was stated together with all of the laws regarding the animal offerings. So the Mishnah writes it here as well, even though it's not actually applicable to the bird offerings. Lechol k'chat zayis v'lehayt k'chat zayis, if he has the intention, he has an invalidating intention, but on half the size of an olive, half the minimum significant amount regarding eating it, and half regarding burning it. For example, he intends to eat half the size of an olive beyond its time limit, and to burn half the size of an olive of that same carbon beyond its area limit. Kosher would be valid, and achilu b'ayit don't starve him, because the intentions regarding eating and the intentions regarding burning do not combine. Now, regarding a bird offering, this is not applicable at all, because there are only two bird offerings, and a korban oilo is totally burnt, none of it is eaten, and a korban chatos is totally eaten, none of it is burnt. However, the Mishnah mentions it, since we mentioned all of the other laws, which are identical to a regular zevach, a regular animal korban.